So I wrote on the board, not forsaken. I want to talk to us about the way we can feel sometimes, the way it looks to us sometimes. So I'd like to start off in Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and a man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And I wanted us to think about this. This sounds like a man who feels like he's been crying to the Lord, and he's getting nowhere. You know, he mentions his fathers cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard them. But he viewed himself as just a worm. He didn't seem to feel like he was getting anywhere. People were making fun of him. They were challenging him. Why are you trusting in the Lord? He doesn't seem to be answering. So I would ask us, have we ever felt this way sometimes in our lives? We've had a matter before the Lord. We've been praying. We've been talking to the Lord. And we feel abandoned. We feel like we just seem to have no hope. That we've seen God work for others, but for some reason he's just not listening to us. Dare I say he's ignoring us as far as we can tell? That this is a place where we feel utterly alone? And have you ever reached that spot and started feeling, well, Lord, people are challenging me. Why am I trusting in you? You don't seem to be answering. Why do you believe that way? Why do you trust in God? He's not answering. He's not come through. This Psalm 22, if you were to read the whole Psalm, it's a prophecy of Christ. And so with that in mind, I'd like for us to look at some other verses real quick. I'm not going to turn to them. I'm going to read them. Ezra 9 and 9. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof, and to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. We see here that they weren't forsaken. You know, if you're in bondage, if Satan's got you down, you feel like you can't get out, do you know the Bible says you're not forsaken? The Lord's looking to you. He will deliver you. In Psalms chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Have you ever felt like you needed rest? So you're not in bondage, but you're just wore out from the stuff you're dealing with. And you're looking for rest, but you can't seem to find any. The Lord still hasn't forsaken you. He's still there for you. We can't necessarily explain why he hasn't maybe given you the rest you desire, but you haven't been forsaken. In Isaiah 41 and 17, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear him. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Here we see when you're in situations where you just don't seem to have the supplies you need, whether it's literal water, you're just athirst or spiritually, you're just dry desert area, you're seeking so desperately for some relief, for something to give you something, and yet you see nothing, and you just yearn so badly for a taste of the water, you know you're still not forsaken, even though it feels that way. Isaiah 42:16, "And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them." Have you ever been going through life and suddenly realized, I don't seem to know which way to go? I don't know what step to take next. I can't see. I absolutely have no idea of where to go. You know, the Bible says in those situations, you're still not forsaken. The blind, the Lord said he would guide. But we can feel utterly alone in those times. Isaiah 62, verses 11 and 12. "Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with them, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken." Here, this one is proclaimed unto the end of the world. Do you know, no matter what happens, no matter how long you go feeling forsaken, the Lord has not forsaken his people. He may not be working the way we want to, but you're not forsaken. And if you hold on, you will be blessed for it. And then the last verse I'm going to jump to real quickly here in this section, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 10, sometimes a familiar passage. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body." Once again, we see here, we're not forsaken. We may be in all of these situations. You may be persecuted, thinking of the Lockharts, thinking of the folks over in Pakistan. But are they forsaken? No. The Lord's there. He's aware. Sometimes we cry and we want out of situations, but the Lord, he has his word that he's working for his purpose. Now I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Because I'd like to start looking here at Christ. Matthew 27, starting in verse 46. "And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias as will come to save him. Then Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." Now notice something here that you see in a parallel with Psalms 22. One, Christ seems to quote it word for word. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you also see here where there's some people that are saying, hey, hold on, wait a minute, let's see if he gets an answer. Let's see. Let's see if he's been forsaken or not. And then it says, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now, do you think Christ was forsaken on a cross? I want us to look at another passage real quick. John, chapter 10. And verses 17 and 18. This is Christ speaking. "Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now I want us to stop here and think about something. Christ is hanging on the cross. He's wanting it to end. He's been given a commandment from God that says you have the power to let it go and the power to pick it back up. Have we ever thought how Christ viewed his life? That maybe he enjoyed being alive, living amongst men? It says in the garden that he prayed, earnestly prayed, that this cup could pass from him. He had something that even Christ needed to let go of, if you will. The word that says yielded up, that word actually means to let go from oneself if you get down to the roots. So I sometimes wonder, and this is my supposition, if when he cried out to God, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" if God simply said, "My son, all you have to do is let go. The suffering's over. You just have to let go. I've got it." Have we thought about that in our lives? When we say we've died to the world, have we truly let everything go? Have we truly said, "You know, Father, everything I let go. I want you to have control of it." You know, in that commandment, it doesn't say Christ was going to lose his life. It merely said he was going to have to put it down and pick it back up again. But how many of y'all have ever heard stories about a young child that puts their hand in a cookie jar, wants to get a cookie out, and they grab the big old wad of cookies and they're trying to get their hand out, and it's stuck in the cookie jar because they're trying to take too much, and the only way to get their hand out is to let go, to get their hand back out of the cookie jar? Sometimes we get so, I think, focused on things that we want that are near and dear to us that we forget, Lord, you're in control. You have told us what we need to do. What is the most precious thing we have right now? And I'm thinking, wanting you all to think for yourselves. What's the most precious thing to you? Are you willing to let it go for the Lord? Are you willing to say, "Father, I'm willing to let go"? When it says Christ, says there, I think in verse 50, and Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. I think that's when he finally said, "Okay, Father, I fully am letting go. This life you gave me, I'm putting it down. So that your plan can be complete, so I can take it again." He hadn't been forsaken at any time during that process. He felt like it. Probably absolutely felt like it. Lord, this is miserable. Dying is terrible. I want it over. And once again, my supposition, I can just see the Father saying, "Son, I've given you the key for it to be over. You just have to let that go." Sometimes I would challenge us, when we're feeling forsaken, are we holding on to something? Are we struggling because the Lord's told us, "I've got it"? My mother used to talk about us children bringing her strings, shoestrings, you name it, that had knots in it, and wanting her to unknot it. But then we wanted to hold on to the rope. And she used to remark, if we weren't willing to give her both ends of that rope, she couldn't unknot it. It was, you know, we'd be getting her way. Could we be doing that to the Lord, which is causing us to feel forsaken, when actually we're just in the Lord's way? We're not letting go. I would like to go back now to Matthew 27. And starting there again in verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So was Jesus forsaken? Or did everything he had said come true? His resurrection from the dead? Raising other saints up? Opening the most holy place of the temple to everyone? He wasn't forsaken at all, was he? But to get there, he had to do one thing. He had to let go of his life. He had to lay it down. You know, when you lay something down, you have to let go of it completely for it to be laid down. If I took my iPad here and I set it right here, but I'm holding on to it, y'all would say I probably haven't really laid it down. But if I take my hand off of it, now you can say I've laid it down. I would challenge all of us in our lives. We're facing things. I think of Brother Michael. And I'm not saying that he's got things he's withholding. But you know, in the middle of the night, when he's uncomfortable, and he's been praying for so long that the Lord would help him, and we've been praying for him, do you know it's easy for us to get discouraged and think, you know, Lord, we're forsaken. You're not answering. In our own lives, we can have that. We can have things where we can pray for years, and seem like nothing's happening. The situations in our lives are still there. But you know, we're not forsaken. The Apostle Paul, it was said, prayed about a situation he had, and the Lord told him, I've got grace for that. I'm not changing it. You're not forsaken. I'm not ignoring you. I am not taking care of it because I have a different way I want you to deal with that. I'd like for us now to flip back to Psalms 22. And starting in the 19th verse. Says, but be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregations will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. And this is our confidence. This is what I think transpired on the cross. Jesus got to that point where he did feel forsaken. Those are Jesus' actual words we have recorded. And he cried out. But then what happened right after he cried out? He cried again. And if you want to say his prayer was answered, he let go. And it was finished. What he came on earth to do was done. I would challenge all of us tonight to remember, no matter how dark it seems to get in your lives, we are not forsaken. Even Christ went through things similar to what we will face. And he felt forsaken. He vocalized it. It's recorded. But what's also recorded is that he was not left feeling that way. That he was given a hope an answer and, dare I say it, a redemption, raised up into heaven to sit on his Father's right hand. That is our final hope that I know all of us here have, is that we make it to heaven. And we may be going through things here on life that we wonder, Lord, I feel so lost and forsaken. But God has not left us. He may be trying us, refining us, and sometimes maybe just waiting for us to remember, child, I told you. You just have to let that go. You all pray for me.